Welcome everyone to the Pain and Paper podcast. We are coming back with another D-Genesis lore drop. This time, we are talking about the big bad, or one of the big bad evil guys, or a conglomerate of big bad evil guys, known as the Primer. What is the Primer? What is he trying to do on Earth? Has he been on Earth even before us humans crept along? Is he the great virus of Genesis? All these questions will be answered right now. And if you want to see the video to this podcast, please go to Pain and Paper on YouTube. You will find us there. There's a lot of D-Genesis lore. And do check out Clan Wars, the new board game of the D-Genesis makers, and now enjoy this podcast. In the year 2073, several asteroids penetrated Earth's atmosphere and crashed into its surface. The destruction caused by the asteroids' impact killed billions and made large areas uninhabitable for centuries. Not only did the asteroids disrupt nature's balance, they also carried the Primer, an alien life form that, over the following centuries, began merging with the DNA of the survivors of the Eschaton. The Primer came in the form of a mysterious substance that leaked from the craters years after the impact. It rose as a black mist, embedding microscopic spores into organic matter. The spores unraveled and coiled in fractal loops around the very DNA of its host, adding nothing, but instead rebooting the genetic code and opening alternative pathways to corrupt. The Primer infected humanity, rejected their genetic code, and began to optimize what it found to create a new species. Inside the craters left by the asteroids, giant spore fields grew that sent out their particles across the land to infect the people of the different regions of post-Eschaton Europe. Furthermore, cusps sprouted all around the craters, cursing the survivors with a new temptation that helped the Primer spread even further. The people began using these cusps as a drug by cutting open the membranes and inhaling the spores inside. The burning sensation they felt in their lungs inspired the new drug's name. Burn was the forbidden fruit, a small dose of comfort in a hostile world that slowly changed its users. The more spores they inhaled, the more of their humanity was lost. Slowly, they turned into minions of the Primer, the so-called Leperos. On their chests, stigmata bloomed, a dead giveaway of their addiction and their obedience to the Primer. The stigmata begin as rashes that flake and flare as more lines break the skin, aligning and colliding to form distinct symbols. There are 7 known symbols that brand the burned, each hailing from a different region. One blossoms on the bodies of those who were born in Borca, despite the region being devoid of spore fields. Another marks all those who grew up in the shadows of Franca's pheromone vents. The same is true for people born in Pollen, the Balkan, Purgare, and Africa. The symbols all vary in details, but in the end, they are all marks of the same origin and ultimate fate.
Some children of the Leperos, and of those living in the vicinity of the spore fields, show strange behaviors. Their eyes are as cold and lifeless as the starry sky. They don't recognize their mothers, but they smell the milk, follow it like a bee follows the scent of nectar. They climb and claw their way up and onto the waiting breasts, suckling until there's nothing left but blood, and they are violently torn from the trough. These children are called soulless ones, aberrants, or psychonauts. They awaken a primordial fear in people. Many cannot stand it, taking the small body and bashing it against a stone until there is no life within. Others see the soulless ones as ancestral curses, trials sent by a spirit or an angry god. To be rid of them would mean a betrayal of the circle of life. Carrying the children through the years, they see the changes. Insects trace patterns around them, drawing mandalas in the dust. They even wriggle up their legs, hiding in skin folds and hair. Yet these children never cry, never laugh, never talk. They only demand with their eyes and take what they can get. They barely seem to feel the cold and escape clothing as if it were a prison. While their kin withers, the aberrants continue to flourish. At some point in their youth, they disappear into the wild, guided by the call of their brethren, the call of the spore. They shed the last remnants of their humanity and become Homo degenesis, psychonauts, demiurges. Better adjusted than the old Homo sapiens and imbued with psychic abilities beyond all comprehension, Homo degenesis rose to the top of the food chain. They viewed themselves as part of the Earth's consciousness, able to force their collective on humanity and amalgamate their spirits. The primer established a connection to the different earth chakras that vary from region to region. Each part of Europe is associated with one of these six chakras. The homodegenesis of the different regions also share a significant connection to their respective chakra. They draw their powers from them, use their full potential to manipulate their bodies and the world around them. In most parts of the world, the people are engulfed in a desperate war against the Homo degenesis, the primer, and its plague, the sepsis, an enemy they meet near the spore fields, as well as inside their burn-addicted peers. There are six types of Homo degenesis known so far. Each can create phenomena according to its chakra and manipulate its environment. Six plagues surround the psychonauts, protecting them and carrying the infectious sepsis into the land. These six manifestations are called raptures, and each can be exactly assigned to a region on the map. Before looking into the different forms of Homo degenesis, we have to talk about chakras. The chakras play a significant role in Hinduist and Buddhist meditation practices and are believed to be energy points in the human body, aligned along the spine. Through meditation and yoga practices, these energy points are said to be accessed, opened, closed, and aligned. A healthy and emotionally balanced human being is supposed to have a connection to all their body's chakras. For the Homo degenesis, though, only one chakra is of importance. The biokinetics of pollen are connected to the root chakra, Muladhara, located at the base of the spine. The root chakra is associated with the element of earth, physical safety, instincts of survival and vitality. It is the energetic root connecting us to earth and settling us within our physical bodies. The biokinetic raptures stand for earth, corporality, and fusion with nature. These psychonauts manipulate their bodies with the force of their minds and rule all arachnids and solitary predatory insects. The second chakra, Svadhisthana, is located above the sexual organs and is connected to reproduction, libido, and creativity. The element associated with it is water. The psychonauts of this chakra are called Leviathans and have spawned from the Colossus crater that is located deep within the Atlantic Ocean. The Leviathans first appear in the Black Atlantic Adventure, and their raptures are focused on reproduction and infection. The psychokinetics of Purgare show a strong connection to the third chakra, Manipura, located at the solar plexus. It is associated with self-esteem, confidence, and the power to change the world around us. The raptures produced by the psychokinetics manipulate light and energy, and thus reality. The psychokinetics make their bodies levitate, channel stored energy into organs and limbs, raising their performance to superhuman levels, or send out shockwaves that rupture their enemies' eardrums. In the swamps of Franca, the Pharomancers reign, terrorizing the people of the Rhone with their raptures connected to the fourth chakra, Anahata. This chakra is associated with feelings of love and empathy and located at the heart. The Pharomancers rely on scent. Their glands produce pheromones that captivate the minds of their victims, making them docile and obedient. They are masters of fusion. They unite body and soul, mediate between male and female, between the individual and the many. The Balkan region is plagued with the Dushani, psychonauts connected to the fifth chakra, Visuddhana, also known as the throat chakra. Their raptures use sound waves, echolocation, subvocal frequencies to manipulate their surroundings and the minds of their Uzudi slaves. The sixth rapture can be found in Hispania. The Pracnoctics draw their power from the sixth chakra, Anja, also known as the third eye. Concepts like intuition, foresight, and imagination are associated with it. The raptures of the Pracnoctics slow down time, offer glimpses into the future, or drag their victims through millennia of thoughts and visions within the blink of an eye. There is another chakra called Sahasrara, or the crown chakra, that has not found any articulation in the form of a rapture. Not yet, that is. In the course of the Black Atlantic adventure, the player characters encounter the Anubian Imbali, who tells them a significant detail about the chakras that bears giant consequences for the metaplot of Degenesis. The blooming of the sixth chakra deep within the Atlantic Ocean that jumpstarts part of the plot of the Black Atlantic adventure marks an important point. The Anubians believe that the seventh chakra will only bloom once the other six already have. While the five chakras connected to the craters of Pollen, Purgare, Franca, Balkan, and Hyperspania have been in bloom for centuries after the Eschaton, the sixth is only now coming to life properly. Once all six earth chakras bloom, the seventh may awaken. For the Anubian cult, this expected event of the six chakras blooming holds a deep significance, and other hints gathered from even the earliest Degenesis publications hint towards the African continent as the location of the seventh earth chakra. Africa was not hit by an asteroid during the events of the Eschaton, yet it was not spared entirely either. The Doruba is a 1,245-mile-long and 185-mile-wide crater caused by an asteroid that soared past the landscape before escaping into space again. Around the Doruba, strange plants known as the psychovores sprouted that are confirmed to be a variant of the primer that appeared as the sepsis and the Homo degenesis in its ultimate form where the asteroids actually hit. In most schools of yoga and meditation, the seventh chakra is assumed to be located at the top of a person's head or slightly above it. Keeping this in mind, we can see the symmetry between the Doruba not being an actual crater and the seventh chakra not being part of the human body. And there's more evidence pointing us in the direction of the Doruba when searching for the seventh chakra. The phenomenon of discordance has been noticed by the Spitalians, primarily in the biokinetics of pollen, who seem to have lost the connection to their earth chakra for a short period of time, around 2455, or maybe earlier, but this year is when the discordance theory comes up for the first time. This loss of connection to the psychonauts' respective chakras, which happened all over Europe, was the result of the European Psychronauts Chakra Collective encountering the African Psychovore Collective. A belt of contradictory evolution now spreads thousands of miles wide between the psychonauts' sepsis invading from the north and the psychovores pushing from the south. It is a widely held theory in the Degenesis community that the discordance phenomenon is the result of the incomplete five chakra collective of Europe trying to reach the seventh chakra of the Doruba. What would happen at the current point of the Degenesis timeline, now that the sixth chakra has awakened, is not clear, even though there are theories, which I will look into in a future video, about Homo Geantis. In my video about Jerome Gatrell, I talked about my interpretation of the Degenesis pitch by author Marko Djordjevic, who summarized the story of Degenesis as God returning to the Garden of Eden to see how humanity ruined it. In my reading, Gatrell took over the role of the god judging humanity, but the wonderful commentator, Phil Zeep, actually hinted me at another interpretation that gains a lot of support from a certain paragraph that can only be found in the digital versions of Primal Punk and inside the Vinkit Omnia Veritas boxes. This paragraph seems to have been written from the point of view of the primer, since the chakra symbol is attached to it. In this paragraph, we are invited into the consciousness of the primer, who has traveled space since the dawn of time alone, in search of the right place, until this place was found, and the entity we know as the primer could create life and watch it blossom. The paragraph then describes the arrival of man, who tamed fire and reached for the stars, before the primer declares that he has returned to deny, contain, and terminate man. For I am life, and I am death. Especially the last sentence, with its invocation of biblical code, does imply that the God returning to the garden might in fact be the primer. Its name already hints at a primeval force that returns to Earth to punish a humanity that has lost its connection to the forces of life, the chakras, for example, by stepping into the transhuman era and reaching for the stars. You can decide which one of these readings seem more convincing to you, and maybe they are both right. But this paragraph proves another peculiar point. The primer came to Earth before the Eschaton, and maybe is even responsible for the evolution of species on Earth. The Eschaton only marks its return, its vengeance. Before I end this video, I do have to thank all the commentators for giving me these kinds of insights that I would definitely overlook. All this new information was quite mind-blowing, and it also made me look at the Anubians in a new light. I will save speculation about their cults, the Ka and the Ba, their connection to the primer, for a later video, but all I can say is that at some point, the prophecy of the jackal will be scrutinized, baby. Alright everyone, thanks for watching the video. I hope no one noticed how much of a pain it was for my dumb German mouth to produce the word sixth. Do I have any open questions? Yes! What, in your opinion, is the coolest form of Homo Degenesis, and why is it the Prognoctics? I actually have a serious question, though. What do you think about the esoteric elements in Degenesis? Talking about chakras and all this stuff is always kind of uncomfortable to me, even though I have actually done chakra meditation and it was kind of funky and helpful. Do you think it's all cuckoo bullshit and only cool in the fictional realm? Do tell me, and do also tell me if I made any mistakes. And do stay tuned for my magnum opus song about the primer, which I will finish in a couple of weeks, hopefully. I have connected to my drony black metal chakra for this song, and if I ever finish it, it'll be epic. And now have a great one.